Once again, you're here. Drinks with Friends with your hosts, Madison Ray.
And that guy, Ryan. What's cracking, everybody? Happy Sunday. Happy day after Carson King Day.
Happy Carson King Day. Or, as I called it on Facebook...
Happy, oh, was it Basic White Boy Day?
Basic White Boys Day. Happy Basic White Boys Day to everyone. I hope you put some Bush Light under the tree. Basic White Boy will be by your house to drink it and
put a hole in your drywall.
There it is. Go full Kyle.
Okay.
But before we go any further, of course, this podcast is brought to you by our friends at Andro DSM, Power Up.
And Susie Sweet Treats, Secret Ingredient is Love,
not cocaine.
Well, if you listened last week, which I hope you did, we were supposed to have, we had a different plan for what we were going to talk about today.
Yeah.
So in the words of Jay-Z, who we also got some things to unpack if you got a minute.
Right. Which we already just did a whole ass episode on. Go ahead. Check your archives, everybody. Yep. Check your archives.
In the infamous words of Jay-Z, you'll fuck you, Kanye, first and foremost.
Right. If you didn't listen to last week's episode, which I don't understand why you wouldn't have.
You ain't had nothing better to do.
We were supposed to... have a whole ass review show for today to talk about Kanye's new project, which is called
Jesus is King.
Jesus is King, that's right.
Yep.
So is this Yandy, or was it like the new incarnation of Yandy, or just a different
It was what project Yandy completely? Was supposed to turn into, or what Yandy had turned into through his year or whatever, finding himself literally going to Africa. And,
and all of the things.
Having more kids.
What makes me like mad, so it was supposed to come out on Friday.
Uh-huh.
And instead he started doing listening parties. I say plural, because he's going across the country.
Yeah.
Doing these little, like, listening.
Detroit, L.A., and Chicago.
Yeah.
He was in Chicago yesterday, and then he went to... Chance had a concert in Chicago for the big day, and he brought Kanye out, so Kanye was out performing at Chance's show. And I'm still... And then I get emails today talking about, oh, Jesus King merch is now available. And I'm like... So this motherfucker can sell me t-shirts, but he can't let me stream this album? Like, why you gotta make it so hard for me to support you, bro?
Right?
Like, every chance you get, you seem to shit on my love for you, and...
We're still gonna listen. We're still gonna do a review.
I mean,
it's still going down.
I'm just complaining about it now because I wanted to have heard this by now because I've been waiting since last Black Friday for what was supposed to be Yandy.
Yeah.
Not only that, but he ruined my chance to get the check by following up Yandy with the perfectly titled ML Yay, which was my idea, and now it's not gonna happen because he's back to saying Jesus is King. Come on, bro.
So you got some personal investment in this.
I do.
I'm a little situation.
Upset and offended, and maybe that's karma for me making white people mad this whole week.
Well, I mean, you know, I'll say this. I understand sometimes you come up to a deadline and you're just not there yet, or you're just not satisfied, or you know something's just not quite right.
Yeah,
that's part of the creative
process.
Really
think
it's part of the perfectionist brain.
I think Kanye knows that he's shit all over his goodwill enough to where he didn't want to go up against DaBaby's debut album.
Also fair. You know, you say it that way, and I think... So here are the layers that, like, often are not considered or talked about openly, right? The notion of missing the deadline... but making an announcement or doing these things keeps the conversation going and keeps the PR buzz happening. In fact, it makes the release even bigger by failing to release it.
You know,
it's relevant because we're talking about how Kanye dropped the ball
again.
But his name is
not only that, but you know,
gaining momentum.
Follow Kim Kardashian West on social media just for updates on Ye. Knowing I don't give two fucks about anything Kim is doing. I don't care about her.
Yeah.
Like, even the tape was boring as shit. Like, she didn't do nothing. Like, who cares, bro? Like, I don't care about anything that you're doing at all. But I'm still on. I follow you on Twitter just so I can see, like, all right, what's your crazy husband up to right now?
Right.
Because I'm waiting for these tracks.
I mean, she do be the direct lifeline to
exactly.
Like,
and I'm
what's
like,
going
this
on?
Is so disrespectful, but I don't like you. But here we are. Like, let me love you, Kanye. Just let me stop doing dumb shit. Like, let me.
Yeah.
That's why I've been so bothered this week. Maybe it's because I knew that this was going to happen. Because we even talked about this last week, like, if he drops it, because we know how he does.
Yeah.
And then somebody dropped this infographic where it's like 579 days past when it was supposed to be that the Life of Pablo dropped. And I'm like, just keep doing this to us.
Yeah. So maybe that's why. At the same time, if this is going to be like a fair shot at a, I won't say comeback, but like to kind of claim his place, you know, like, actually, it's funny. Last night I listened to Get Lifted,
yeah,
which I have not listened to in a very, very long time.
John Legend's
time. Yeah. The shit is a classic.
Absolutely.
Like, there's not a single record on the entire joint that I skip. It's a whole experience from top to bottom. You know what I mean? Like, in a way that, like, the old school,
yeah,
like,
old albums just used cohesive to, art pieces.
Exactly. Like, yeah. It's a full experience that you're supposed to just, like, put it on and get lost in that. And that was early Kanye.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is not to say that he wasn't already accomplished at that point, but like he wasn't.
That was early. That was like him and his executive producer band.
Yeah. So that's to say that we know there is solid evidence that we know that Kanye West can drop classics, and in his own discography, he's got a few of those.
I'd say 4 out of 7 could be considered
classics, right? And so the thing is, if you're going to deliver another classic.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep waiting until whenever it's ready. Like,
yeah.
That's not whatever. Bro.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not arguing that. I'm just.
No, I get it. I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
Like, I was ready. Like, I was like, my body was
I feel
ready.
Like that girl whose boyfriend, like, stays running the streets and you don't know if he's gonna come home at night or not. And you get mad at him until he walks through the door and then you just relieved to see him again.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I understand how that side lives.
Right. Like, he might be with another bitch, but he also might be dead.
Right.
You don't know.
Yeah, it's like you're just happy that
like
he's still here.
Schrodinger's cat, you know?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah.
I feel you.
So yeah, hopefully next week we'll have a review show for you.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Either way, I'm here for it.
Right.
You know.
But.
So, we
digress.
So. I mean, we've got plenty of other things to talk about, and this is very...
How's your week been?
Iowa-centric.
Yeah.
My week's been fantastic.
Yeah?
Yeah. My first little protege had her big EP debut show on Friday.
Ellen Grace.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
It went very well. You know, from a producer standpoint, I'll say, like, you design a show, how it's going to look, how it's going to feel. Not so much the sound. That's the, you know, that's on the artist, how they're going to perform.
Yeah.
But how to make those moments happen, how to help those songs blossom into experiences and not just shit you're listening to.
Mm-hmm.
It's like knowing how to ride those waves and to find those moments.
Right.
And how to make those moments happen the way we've designed them to happen. And that's usually where I kind of test the success of the thing. Did the moments happen, A, how we wanted them to, and was the reaction what we wanted from the audience?
Yeah.
Did they scream when they were supposed to scream? Did they clap their hands when they were supposed to clap their hands? All those kinds of like little things.
Yeah.
And all of those things definitely check off all the boxes. So, you know, I have such mad respect for this girl because, you know, I wish I had that kind of courage at 15 to just put myself out there like that, you know, awkwardness and all, you know, like you're growing into a new body, you know, like your feelings are hypersensitive and hyper aware,
right.
You know, every little thing feels like the biggest thing ever.
You're just kind of stepping into who you're going to be.
Right. Right. And like all these new emotions, they feel gigantic, and all this stuff. And to navigate that and then also put yourself in a very, like, you know, very public space.
Yeah.
The turnout was great, too. There's a lot of support for her project, and that's really great. So, yeah, I'm really happy how it all turned out.
So,
I would say it was definitely a success on the performance end and as a show, but also, like, I really wish her all the success as far as, like, her new EP, you know, really go out and do the thing. Shout out. Go ahead. Check it out. Go stream it.
Yeah.
Lighthouse was the first single. Fast Forward is the second one. I know there's some videos dropping and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, keep your eyes open for Eleanor Grace.
Word.
Good kid. Good music. Kind of a Florence and the Machine kind of vibe.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But aside from that, apparently I've just gotten people all types of riled up.
Yeah, I've been making white people mad all week. It's been super duper fun. I ain't gonna lie.
Well,
I've had a great time.
With all the focus on the show, I had all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I worked my schedule out to be focused on this thing, which meant I had so much time on my hands, so I could just put these people in their place just all afternoon.
I feel like I got back to a level of petty I haven't seen since I've had children, and I've had to like shelf that.
Yeah.
Not necessarily just my social media interactions with people, but I mean like in my real life interactions.
Yeah.
Where you've known me for a couple of decades. Going on three decades. And you know, I feel like you just about better than anyone who's not a blood relation of mine knows how I am when I stop caring about people's feelings. Mm. And I was definitely there this week. And it's been a blast. Like, it's been so
fun. I've handed out some nice blocks this week.
I don't do that.
Oh, well, for me, it's about protecting my energy and protecting my space. Yeah. Honestly.
I don't know. I thrive on confrontation.
Right. I used to be there, too. Yeah. And I got to a place where, like, if we're not here to actually have a conversation and be constructive, then I'm putting you in the corner. Like, that's my confrontation. Goodbye
you.
Is my confrontation.
No, I like making people fucked up.
Because here's the thing is, like...
But you also are much more public-facing than I am.
This is true. But also, here's the thing is, but your friends still love me. So, like, get used to seeing me and not being able to interact with me.
Yeah.
Like, and so I'll just be this, like, thing just kind of off in the distance that, like, oh, you said some dumb shit, you got put in your place, and now you're done. That's it. You're done.
Yeah.
We're done. We're done here. So that's just kind of where I'm at in a like protective kind of space. Like, I'm here for conversations. I'm here for confrontations. Because some of my favorite people, you know, like, we don't necessarily have to see eye to eye.
Right.
But, like, let's actually have a constructive conversation, or at least come to some understanding that's based on, like, facts and real things.
Fair.
Not your dumb fucking feelings. But, you know, for our listeners, let's go ahead and just unpack this one more time.
All right. So a couple weeks ago.
This is the Iowa-Iowa State game.
Yes, a couple of weeks ago, the big deal in Iowa, like Iowa's Super Bowl, the Iowa versus Iowa State game.
They got trophies and everything.
Yeah, there's the Cy Hawk trophy
that
travels back and forth depending on who wins. And 9 times out of 10, it's Iowa and blah, blah, blah. Who cares, right? Like, if you're not from here, you don't care.
Right.
Okay? If you are from here and you didn't go to one of those schools, you don't care. If you are from here and you did go to one of those schools and football's not really your bag, you don't care. If you're from here and you went to one of those schools but you realized life didn't peak while you were in school, you don't care. But
there are a lot of people who care about this game, though.
There are. Yeah. There are. There are a lot of people that care about this game. And honestly, in this situation, I feel just as bad for them because this is totally overshadowed what is supposed to be their big game.
Right.
You know, like the big deal outside of what for college football teams is like a bowl game. Like,
yeah.
This is Iowa's own little bowl game, basically. And these people got caught up in this rapture as well.
Yeah. So there's a young man in the... Like in the audience.
ESPN for the first time brought their college game day broadcast to the Iowa-Iowa State game. That's an important piece of this puzzle.
Right.
Okay. So ESPN, of course, the biggest sports network, blah, blah, blah. They're doing their talk show pregame from Ames, Iowa.
Yeah.
There's this dude in the audience who made a sign.
Yep.
It's like big poster board, science poster board and a Sharpie. Hey, I need money for beer. Here's my Venmo.
Basically.
And stood in the background in a nice visible spot where it kept getting seen. And people started like, fuck it. This dude's at a tailgate party. Let's throw up some money for some beer.
Right.
Innocent enough. He ends up getting like $600.
Yeah, it's like pretty funny.
Right.
It's like pretty funny.
Right.
Like
that's a lot of
beer. Shoot your shot.
See what happens.
On a national platform.
See what happens.
It's funny. That's funny. It's legitimately funny.
Yeah. So he gets like $600, right? And then he does a really genuinely good thing. He's like, hey, this is way more than I need for beer. I didn't expect this to go like this. I'm going to take out the cost of the case of beer, and I'm going to donate everything else to the University of Iowa Children's Hospital.
Yep, right? That's right.
Which is it's a big teaching hospital. Like, they do a lot of good things in the state. Like, normally if things are happening in the state of Iowa and it's like an extreme case, they'll direct people up to University of Iowa Hospital so they can get better care. And so after doing this, then of course this thing, his mom shared it on her Facebook, and then people, you know how social media goes, shit goes viral.
Yeah.
All of a sudden all these people are talking about it, like, oh hey, this kid's doing a great thing, here's his Venmo. Money starts pouring in, like literally pouring in.
Yeah.
Everybody's donating. Of course, never want to shy away from a good PR opportunity. These companies, namely the one he named a specific brand of beer that he wanted to replenish, was like, hey, way to go, kid. We're going to match donations.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you get, we're going to match up to, I think, 350K, right? Or through the end of the month.
Or, well, yeah, whatever. They put some sort of, like...
whichever comes first.
Yeah, some sort of, like, governor on it. Right. That, like,
yeah. Right. And then Venmo, the platform that we use to get these donations...
also promised
this,
to match?
Yeah, did this seemingly selfless thing of, like, hey, we'll also match your donations. Even though it's funny because the whole name of the game in these particular platforms is they're getting a piece of every penny that goes through their system. So even though they're matching, they're getting paid for all of these donations coming in to Carson.
Right.
Right. Any money that he sits out, they're also getting a chunk of.
Right.
But nobody talks about that part. But I just wanted to throw that out there.
Right.
Because I've been peppering that into these right. conversations I've had all week.
Right. Right. Bro, facts.
nobody's thinking about that, but I'm, you know me, I'm just chefing it. Just a nice yeah. little
dusting on that.
Right. A little flavor in there for you. And so everybody's like, yeah, this is great. This is phenomenal. This is a good thing. And I agree. It's a great thing that kid's done. Like, he's amassed a lot of money for a seemingly good cause, all this, that, and the other. He's getting all of a sudden national recognition. He's on news programs. Yeah. He's on CNN. He's
doing some other. They hit $1 million in 10 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
This little dumb beer joke turns into like
a legitimate good deed.
A significant donation to this children's hospital.
Right.
Yeah.
Props to him for that.
Yeah.
So, goddamn.
Yeah.
So. Amongst all this recognition and everything that they're doing, the local rag. We'll call it that, the Des Moines Register, Iowa's biggest newspaper, based here in the capital city. My grandfather worked for them basically his entire working career. He
That's
was
right.
the first black foreman of the printing press. Shout out Gordon Wolder, may he rest in peace, killing the game. Quite frankly, the paper's been going downhill since he retired. I got to hear about that from the time he retired up until he passed away, about how his paper was turning to shit.
Yeah.
For like that 15-year difference.
Right, right. Can you imagine here for 15 years, like, it's getting worse. Yeah, it's getting worse.
Consistently, it's getting worse. Like, man, this paper is not what it used to be.
Yeah.
It's getting worse. Blah, 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 blah. So, they did a write-up on the kid, as newspapers are to do, especially with a local hero.
Right.
And in doing so, they come across some problematic things that he shared on his Twitter when he was 16.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Me being me, liking to know what I'm talking about, I did some research because what he said was not readily published.
Yeah.
Trying to find out what it was. And he had compared black mothers, specifically, to gorillas.
Mm-hmm.
And then he made light of black people suffering through the Holocaust because, as we all know, the Holocaust, horrible travesty that happened to the Jewish community, but not just the Jewish community, basically anyone different from the powers that were at the time. And so, again, specifically targeting black people
right.
in the Holocaust and black mothers, whom I happen to be a product of.
Oh, hi, same.
Right. And so, once this happened, the Register found this out. Before they published the article, they went to the kid and they're like, hey, man, just so you know, in doing our routine background check, we found this. Just wanted to give you a heads up that, I mean, basically, we found it. It's out there. If we found it, somebody else is going to find it.
Yep.
The guy took it upon himself. This is another thing I feel like people don't really talk about.
Yeah.
The guy took it upon himself to contact the local news stations, Channel 8 and 13, the CBS and
NBC,
NBC affiliates,
yep.
And decided to hold a press conference
That's
and
right.
make a statement about this.
Yeah.
Again, he was not forced to do this. This was under his own volition. He made the decision to do these things. Makes a statement where he talks about how, back in the day, I said some really problematic shit in the sense, in the interim time, I've grown. That's no longer how I think.
Yeah.
If you look back on more recent social media, I also shared this. Basically, what gets down to, can't we all just get along? Thanks. Hope it doesn't shit on everything I've done. Anheuser-Busch decides to cut ties with Carson because they had created a beer can for him that said like Iowa Legend on it. They had pledged to give him a year supply of free beer. They decided that we're going to cut ties. We're still going to match the donation like we promised we would.
Yeah.
So the hospital and the kids are still going to get this money to help them in their facilities. But as far as he goes, we're pulling back.
Yeah. After this donation, our business here is done.
Right. Which, in my mind, is totally fair.
Mm-hmm.
Totally fair. Especially in 2019, the climate that we're in right now.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't mad at them for that.
Venmo, I don't know if you caught this, Venmo issued a similar statement. Which was still vaguely, very cleverly crafted and stated in such a vague way to say, not that they were necessarily supporting him, but they weren't condemning him either, but they were still going to give some money. That I feel like needs to be said.
About that, I don't think Venmo actually made that statement because everything, at least all the ones that I've seen that had like a written statement from Venmo were made on an Apple, either iPhone or iPad notepad like setting. It wasn't like a crafted letterhead. It was nothing that from Venmo. Every piece of it that I saw of it said the same thing. Like, we understand people change. We still support you. We think you did a great thing. So we're going to match this donate. We're going to continue to match the donate.
In the statements that I had seen, it didn't have that kind of language in it. It was talking about doing good for children and wanting to, you know, so match donations. But it took Carson's name out of the picture completely. So it was, if it's real,
right.
The statement came across, like I said, on a PR point was like almost ingenious because it allowed them to get all of the good feels out of like helping a children's hospital while also distancing themselves from the problem without actually having to distance themselves from the problem.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was brilliant, way to play both sides, to be like, we're doing the good thing, we're doing the right thing, here's your money.
Yeah.
Without being like, that kid's a racist. Either.
Right. I dig that.
Right.
And it's quite possible, especially with how social media is, that we saw two completely different things.
Yeah.
And as you know, people share misinformation all the time.
Why? Right.
How could they?
So,
after this happened, people flipped shit.
Literally.
Like, people were so mad. They were so mad. Like before, and there's more to talk about with this, like because it goes deeper. But before we get into that, people were irate talking about, like, why would the register do this? Why would you drag up this person's past? How does this serve the story? You're trying to shit all over a feel-good story and make somebody out to be something that they're not. How could you do this? Boycott the register. Burn it to the ground.
And also boycott
Anheuser-Busch for not standing with this kid after he said some really foul shit.
By the way, sidebar, there's a meme that had come out that was like the funniest thing of my life. Where it was like basically like getting rid of Busch Light and then like replacing it with like Budweiser and Bud Light. Mm-hmm. Like, did you not do your homework and realize that those are all the same?
It's the exact same thing as when the Nike boycott was going on and people were like, I'm just going to wear my Converse. Like, but Nike
owns that Convert too.
But
so
whatever.
Good luck with that.
It makes you feel
right. Better. Right. Does that make you feel better?
Yeah.
Because Nike's still cashing them checks.
Exactly.
Carry on.
Yeah. So go ahead and drink your Bud Heavy while you feel better, holier than now. And Anheuser-Busch is still getting that fucking money.
I saw a dude pouring out like cans, like tall boy cans of Busch Light, like.
And it's like, bro, you already paid for it.
But you already bought it.
You paid for it. It's like you went to a gas station and stole the six pack to pour it out. Like,
right.
No, bro, you went and spent your little $8 just so you could feel better about yourself.
For the likes. Anything for the likes,
right.
Bro.
Right. Like that shit's real life, like currency. Like,
yeah.
Nigga, it's not Bitcoin. Fuck out of here.
I have 25,000 thumbs up.
What can I? Can I? Is that a down payment on a house? No, kill yourself. Like, I don't know.
So we're not even done. We're not even into the breakdown.
I'm still just giving y'all the history here. So all these internet sleuths decided to take it upon themselves to get justice for Carson because he was done dirty, and so they decided to dig back. Well, once the register
outed who the reporter was.
They made this whole statement about how, like, this is part of what we do. This is a routine part of journalism. This is what we have to do. We vet the people whom we do these articles on, these write-ups on, blah, blah, blah. Chill. Like,
yeah, basically, right. We're doing our job.
Was the register's initial statement.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like they made this whole thing where it's like all the editors got together and decided whether or not they should do this, and in the end they had a responsibility as journalists to go ahead and put this information out there. Because again, had they not, someone would have, because that's what people on Twitter and Facebook do. They scroll back through the history just to find something problematic, because yeah, apparently they don't have actual responsibilities. Or
sometimes you got the time.
Right.
I get it. Sometimes you got the time.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't sleep much, so I get it. I guess I just feel like there's better ways for me to spend my time. You know how many good shows are on Netflix? Like, what are you doing, bro?
Facts.
Yeah.
Like, we're having all these like season premieres right now too. Like we're in fall season.
I'm saying, you know, books exist, right? Like,
right, like there's other things. Come on, LeVar Burton.
Right. Don't take my word for it. This situation is fucking stupid.
My guy.
Yeah. So here's another thing too. So they basically, all these people go on a witch hunt, which I saw another meme today, like a quick sidebar that I think is really funny, where it's like, I really wish like white dudes would stop using the term witch hunt and lynch mob to basically like co-op victimhood by the people that they've persecuted, like women and minorities, like people of color throughout the ages.
Yeah.
Like, just stop using those terms, because you're really just making yourself look stupid. But as a black man, I can say lynch mob, because I mean, that's basically what it was.
Yeah.
They found problematic tweets from the person who wrote the article.
Yep.
Will I say just as bad? I mean, dude, like, quoted some hip-hop lyrics. Apparently some from Kanye.
Yep.
Which, I mean, I pretty much know dude's entire discography word for word, like bar for bar. I didn't recognize some of them. So yeah. I think he was just throwing a name out there because it's an easy name to throw out.
Yeah.
But not important.
Mm.
So yeah, all these people, it turned into a big game of whataboutism. It's like, what about this guy who was saying niggas is bitch made, blah 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 blah, quoting hip-hop lyrics. But then what about Anheuser-Busch? When didn't you do something stupid when you were 16 years old back in 1890? Who gives a fuck? And like had advertisements with black and tan and had little brown babies with beer bottles. And the black house servant and da 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 da. Like, oh, y'all are just as bad. They come to find out. So the stuff that he tweeted was from the not funny comedian Tosh.0. And it's like, oh, Anheuser-Busch was a sponsor of the show during the time that he tweeted it. So again, a whole big game of whataboutism. Like, and so I've had people mad at me all week because I've just been pointing out that none of that matters and it's not the point.
Right.
Like, that's not.
It's a bait and switch.
Yeah.
It's a bait and switch.
It has nothing to do with what the actual issue is.
Yeah.
A number of issues. Like, nothing to do with it.
Yeah. So, but before we get to the breakdown, we still gotta.
What am I missing?
Okay, let me.
I forgot about Kim Reynolds. Go ahead. Yeah,
yeah.
Please
take this baton.
Yeah.
So, all these announcements come out. This movement to boycott or cancel your subscription to the Des Moines Register is going around. Mm-hmm. Boycott Anheuser-Busch, whatever. All this stuff, and. Literally the next day, the governor of Iowa, Kim, two DUIs, Reynolds.
People can't smoke weed because I can't handle my liquor, Reynolds.
She declares,
I want to cut funding for all the schools and everything, but I also want to cut funding for Planned Parenthood, Kim Reynolds.
Kim, I closed every mental hospital in the state of Iowa, Reynolds.
Right.
declares yesterday, Saturday.
The
28th?
28th? Yeah. 27th? 28th? 28th.
Whatever.
Yeah. For sure. It was the
28th. Yeah.
Here in Iowa,
Carson King Day.
Yeah. To respect an Iowa legend.
Bitch. So now he has a holiday. And now here we are. Ladies and gentlemen, and everyone in between, and all those that I don't identify as either.
Right.
Here comes the breakdown. Mm. We've broken this into a few different sections, and we're going to kind of quickly unpack some of the things in this clusterfuck of a situation.
Uh-huh.
To help with a better understanding of what's going on and why this thing is just the biggest sack of bullshit I've ever heard in my entire fucking life.
Can we preface by saying, neither of us personally are mad at Carson King.
No, not at all.
Like, if anything, I'm not mad at any of it. I think I'm to the point now where I'm just not surprised anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's actually more of a frustration with how people are reacting to these different elements and how they're allowing a lack of information or their own feelings to obscure facts, but also the erasure of the opinions and feelings and perspectives of people of color who are like living through this bullshit and basically just telling us to like chill and let it slide.
I also want to say that
interested in protecting their own self interests, because what it is we're really revealing that, you know, like they're probably racist and homophobes and sexist and all this kind of stuff, but they're looking for a pass because they don't want the consequences or the accountability for the shit they did in their past as well. Anyway, sorry, go ahead, you were saying.
I forgot. It'll come back.
So let's start with Carson King.
Okay.
As you said, I'm not particularly mad at this kid.
Yeah, I really couldn't care less.
Yeah, like, exactly. If anything, I'm rather indifferent. Right. He is just someone who made a donation.
Bro, because when it comes down to it, it has nothing to do with how I live my life day to day.
Yeah, and he said some stupid shit. I can appreciate that publicly he's taken accountability. And
his apology did seem sincere, heartfelt, genuine.
Let me go ahead and just throw some cynicism on it real quick. So, you know, any money that he would have gotten from Venmo would be counted as income, and he would have to report that to the government and also get taxed on it.
Right.
So there's a part of me that wonders, like, if there's, like, that kind of piece of it where it's, like, it's just easier to donate it.
That's still, at this point, even then...
I mean, it doesn't really matter. It
would have been, like, $600,000 that he still would have got to take home out of that.
Sure. I'm just saying that, like...
I'm just saying, I personally could use $600,000.
Like, that's just my cynicism.
Yeah,
that's you know fair. What I mean? Like, that's just a cynical take. I'm not saying I necessarily believe that.
Yeah.
But that's an element to consider that, like, there's taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the fact of the matter is, like, what 24-year-old has a PR team?
Right.
Like, the fact of the matter is that, like, he got ahead of the story and put the Des Moines Register on the defensive while kind of saving his own bacon, which is, like... Okay, cool. But at the same time, like, that is definitely, like, someone strategizing, which then makes me also then kind of wonder about the sincerity of the statement, which is, again, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know this man's heart. I don't know him personally. I'm not going to make any assumptions. I'm just going ahead and just put out some different plausible possibilities.
I agree with that. And for me personally, I've been arguing that, honestly, especially having spent time in a small Iowa town, I wasn't surprised that it had happened.
Yeah.
Like, basically, he came from a very sheltered, safe place. He grew up in Prairie City.
Yeah.
Which, as far as I know, was probably, like, 98% white. And then maybe, like, 1.5% Latino, because motherfuckers be peppered.
Yeah.
Probably one Asian family for the one Chinese restaurant in town.
Right.
And then maybe one black dude with a white lady that grew up on the farm. Maybe. And somehow she convinced him to stay there.
it's a very specific breakdown.
Never been, but I've been through enough small Iowa towns where I feel like that's probably pretty accurate. Okay, I might be wrong, but I'm probably
God.
Experience says I'm right. So, grew up in a small town.
Yeah.
Went to university or went to ISU.
Yep.
For a little while, like I think 2 years, something like that, before he decided he was done. So he would have grown and met some new people, got some new experience, meet some people from some different walks of life than he is.
Yeah.
Okay. Which apparently made him grow.
Yeah.
Because in the interim like, time, like he had tweeted some other shit, like I said, on some can we all get along, like way to stop racism.
Yeah. Like, and if there's some personal growth, like on a sincere point, good on him.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing that actually I think that here's the one cringeworthy part of his thing that I'm just like, really? Really? Nigga, really? Is now that he's taking this fame and that he wants to work with other major corporations to help with their like fundraising as if he's some sort of like wunderkind of
right. Like, bro, you just wanted some beer.
You got lucky. You got lucky and went viral. Like you hit the lottery.
Yeah.
And I won't even say the jackpot because this could have been a lot bigger than it actually was. Because honestly, $2 million ain't really shit in the grand scheme of things. Like that being said, to now like try to rebrand yourself as some sort of like fundraising expert is like the epitome of privilege.
True.
In the sense that's like here's this thing that I accidentally lucked into. I must be an expert.
Right.
I must be a genius.
Yeah.
You gross. Don't hire Carson King. He don't know what the fuck he's doing.
Right.
Yeah. Any more thoughts on him before we move on to the next kind of element here?
I'm sure we'll circle back to it, but no.
Okay.
We're kind of running short on time, so yeah. Let's go.
Okay. Yeah. So, Anheuser-Busch.
Mm-hmm.
Manufacturer of Busch Light and about a million other alcoholic beverages.
It's like, I think, the United States' largest.
Yeah.
Brewery.
There's no reason for them to catch the smoke because they did what any major corporation would do.
In 2019, at least.
In this climate.
Yeah.
Is they backed off.
Dang, bro, you really had to say some dumb shit. Sorry.
Right. We're not going to do... Okay.
Yeah, I don't need this news story.
Exactly. Like, I don't... Yeah. Don't need that smudge on the record. But they're still putting the money in. So, like, I don't see what the big fucking problem here is.
Me either.
God
forbid it, my wife doesn't get a free beer for a year.
Right. Which is, like, really confusing to me. Now, I will say, here's another, not my personal feeling, but a cynicist response to that is maybe they're looking for an exit strategy. Because as this thing starts to balloon, and all of a sudden you're on the hook for a lot more than maybe you were planning for, like, you're waiting for any reason to be like, pull the plug.
Yeah.
Right? Like, are we done?
100K? Sure. I'll donate 100K.
Right.
Now we up to like 600K.
Right. When it started, it was only just a couple $1,000.
Yeah.
And then over those 10 days, the shit just went wild.
Right.
And now they're like really on the hook for like a nice little payout.
Uh-huh.
That being said, cynically, they might have been looking for a way out of this partnership.
True.
And those tweets were just low-hanging fruit to be like, oh, perfect, we can get out of this.
Gotcha, got him, bitch.
Here's your check. Leave me the fuck alone.
Right.
Don't call me. Don't text me. Yeah. Right? But no, I think any major corporation of that size would make any kind of move like that. Like, look what Disney did with James Gunn.
Yeah.
You know, like look what happened with Kevin Hart. Mm. Look, I mean, like, people want to use those as excuses as a whataboutism, but really, like, that's exactly, you're just giving more examples of, yes, when some controversial shit comes up, watch your sponsors suddenly, like, take some steps back and be like, yo, figure your shit out before we ever do business together again.
It's funny that you mentioned those two people, because you basically just cut to the heart of what my argument has been through this whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay? Is the fact that right now, people are up... Basically, what it comes down to is people are super mad because this kid did some dumb shit 8 years ago and it's coming back to haunt him later on in life.
Yeah.
All these people are getting a first-hand view of what it's like to be black and brown in America.
Period.
So, again, what are you mad at? Because I told this to basically equates to my mother-in-law. All these people are talking about the wrong thing. Like, instead of teaching their kids not to be racist, it's like, well, now I've seen all these comments talking about, like, well, now I gotta tell my kids to be careful what they say and what they type because 8 to 10 years down the line, it could come back to bite them in the ass. Yeah, they said it. Shit catches up to you.
Yeah.
Like, you're sitting here worrying about something.
The definition of karma.
Right, you're sitting here worrying about something that I've literally worried about since December 17th, 2010, the day my son was born.
Mm.
Like, teaching him, listen, you have to carry yourself in this world a certain way. Otherwise, you could die.
Yeah.
The stakes are much, much higher than all of a sudden not having free beer for a year.
Right.
Every single step, every decision that my child makes, that my son makes, I have to look at him and be like, how is this going to affect your future? Riley wants to be an astronaut. Like, he's all in on being a fucking astronaut. I'm like, okay, then you need to start making these steps and plans now as an 8-year-old to be able to live this dream out when you're an adult.
Right. You're absolutely right.
This is how we live every single day.
Also, here's a little legal advice from my mother, the vice president of the Ruan and head counsel. Whatever. No big deal. Everything on the internet lasts forever. Whether you delete it, whether you this, whether you that.
It's there.
It's always going to be there. There are firms that attorneys hire to go through, not hack in, but to get access to all the stuff that is for people obviously can't see me, air quotes, deleted or removed. It doesn't actually go away. Mm-hmm. It's all archived. It's all accessible. So the things you say on the internet live forever. Right. And if you're too dumb to realize...
Donald Trump's tweets are in the Library of Congress.
Period. That shit lasts
forever.
So, like, so you think you're being cute, you think you're being funny, you're trying to get them likes, you're trying to get them laughs. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, cool. Play the short game, but if it ends up getting you fired in 10 years, 15 years, like, I don't feel too bad for you because you tried it. You tried it.
And you failed.
And it came back to get you.
Yeah. And that's my whole thing is I've been telling people, like, no, I can't feel bad for this kid. People have been so mad. And I'm like, oh, how could they do this to him? Oh, why are you shitting on a feel-good story? Like, first off, he said black mothers look like gorillas. Had he said that to my face when I was 16, I'd have beat his ass in the halls of Roosevelt.
Right. Just taking turns.
Right. Point blank, period. Like, you ain't going to talk about Susan like that. I'll fight you.
Yeah. Period. Period, son.
You
ain't
gonna talk about Dolores like that. I'll fight you.
Right.
Like, because not only are you talking about what's been my mother, but my grandmother.
All
my
of our mothers.
Like, right. All these women who are precious to me, and you're going to say that, again, you're going to go to, like, the white boy go-to of they're, like, apes. Bitch, I'll fight you. So, no, I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad for what happened to you.
Yeah. Because nothing really happened to him. That's the other part of it, too.
There's no consequences.
Understand, like, yeah, everyone's still getting their money. Everyone's still getting their checks. Like, nothing happened to him.
If anything, all that happened is that all these people, and it's funny because all the people who are really up in arms talking all this mad shit about it, right? A lot of them were, like, really, like, liberal folks.
Yeah.
Okay? And so, basically, all they're doing is just playing into the whole, like, anti-media game that is being played with all of us right now.
Yeah.
Like, you're doing nothing but to further chip away at the nation's confidence in what's supposed to be the free press, which is actually dealing and talking to us about important things because you've got some kind of guilt.
Yeah. Perfect segue to our next piece of the breakdown, the Des Moines Register.
Right.
So when this first broke, Rick Abasu was the target.
Uh-huh.
Inaccurately, someone had said that she had published this thing, mm-hmm. and the mob descended upon her,
mm-hmm.
Unfairly, unjustly, inaccurately.
Mm-hmm.
And saying the most terrible things,
right.
like I hope your sons get sick and die, and you have to deal with the pain. That I mean, like the most disgusting, hateful shit I've ever heard.
Which it seems to be what they do to brown people in the media when something doesn't go their way, and not just in the media, but brown people in general. Like,
right.
you have all this misplaced vitriol and hatred that. Here it is. Fuck y'all.
Right.
But you're still second-class citizens.
Facts. So, wow. Way to really show your true colors.
Right. Iowa nice.
Yeah. at the wrong person. Now, to talk about, what's his name? Aaron Calvin? Something like that? You know,
another closet of racist white.
Well, listen, he can get the smoke too, right? Yeah. Right, exactly. Like, you know what? He also fucked up.
Right.
He can get the smoke. But here's where the Des Moines Register fucked up, because they were doing their job,
mm-hmm.
and he did a good job
yeah.
in what he was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like a hit piece; like
right.
it was like a small blurb at the end
right.
of an article,
right?
Saying, "Hey, by the way, this
which
happened.
Is an editor's choice, not a writer's choice."
Right.
That being said, they threw this kid under the bus. They should have protected their employee because it also, like, really weakens their paper to do this thing where they're like, listen, like, on the point of, like, boycott the Register, like, I would not want to work for them knowing that at any time that they will put me out, like, on the line to save their own asses.
Yep.
Because there are other people that are, like, who have done much worse things that still have their job there.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like there's some real other bogus stuff that's going on that has nothing to do with this
yeah.
story. But, like, at the same time, they also did their job mm-hmm. as journalists.
The only place they dropped the ball is that they did not vet their employee like they did their subject. Because
yeah.
with just as much ease. In fact, it would have been easier because the dude that wrote the article had more problematic stuff than Carson King did.
Yeah.
More recently than yeah. Carson King did. Like, throughout his entire social media history.
Yeah.
Like, just peppered throughout.
Yeah.
And that somehow they didn't find this in their employee vetting process.
Or just didn't care.
Right.
Because honestly, like, one could make that same argument. Something I said in my past, like, doesn't make him a bad writer.
In fact, true.
I know people that know him personally. I've worked with him personally.
Yeah.
And he's a very good writer. He's very talented. He's also, like, a really, like, good dude, generally. And he said some dumb shit.
Mm-hmm.
Should he get those consequences? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of the deal is accountability. You said it.
Yeah.
Now deal with it.
Deal with it.
That being said, if he's really got the goods and his heart is in journalism and all that, like, I hope he gets a good job somewhere else. I hope
apparently he left BuzzFeed back in, like, 2013, 2014. He worked for BuzzFeed in 2013, 2014. And then because Des Moines is listed as one of the top places for young professionals to come, he came here, got a job with the Register, and now the Register has since let him go.
Yeah.
They fired him.
Right.
For doing his job. For doing what they told him to do.
Right. Right. So I feel like this is one of those sacrificial lamb situations that's like...
Well, sorry, bro. We got to distance ourselves from you because people are talking about canceling their subscriptions, even though we're practically giving them away because nobody wants this raggedy-ass paper anyway. Like,
bro, facts. Like, bro. I don't, bro. Facts. Oh, my God.
But we went to the fair this year, right?
Yeah.
You know, they got the Varied Industries building, and the register was in there. And I swear to you, one of those dudes offered me a blowy right there in the Varied Industries building for a Sunday subscription. Like, they're desperate over there.
Right. Hey, man, I'll get you where you're going.
I'll get you a bucket of cookies and a blowy right now if you sign on for 3 months of Sunday subscriptions for this paper.
Bro. And then the last factor at play here is Governor Kim Reynolds, I think.
Right.
I feel like this is like the most ham-fisted attempt to try to like rally public support for, I think, just a shitty go-around as governor. Because like, if everyone's all incensed and they're like, we stand
with
Carson.
Did she not even get voted in? Like, wasn't she...
Originally. Yeah, like, she got voted in this last election.
Yeah. Probably by the same people that voted for Steve King, but whatever.
Well, first off, like, this bitch a puppet.
Yeah.
She's underqualified. Sure. She's just incompetent on so many levels.
She's Iowa's own Sarah Palin.
Yeah, literally. Like she's kind of goes along with it. Like, you can tell. Like she has no major stances. She doesn't come across as a charismatic speaker.
Nope.
She has like none of the tools that you would think it would take to win an election and be a good governor.
She had to graduate a Karen haircut.
But she's willing to play ball.
Right.
Right? She's willing to put these right-wing agendas in place. And then that's what I think is the most disgusting thing of all, which no one seems to really be talking about, is that, like, so she's undermined and dismantled labor unions.
Mm-hmm.
She's attacked our healthcare system. Mm-hmm. She's attacked...
Mental health.
She's attacked...
Stonewalled criminal reform.
You know, what she did with the illegal... fetal heartbeat bill,
uh-huh.
You know, what she did, you know, or likening the use of cannabis to her own alcoholic history.
Uh-huh.
Yes, she has two DUIs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for all my drunk drivers out there, trust that maybe someday you can also be governor.
Right.
Or have a holiday named after you.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said. Like, hey, in Iowa, you could say black women are like gorillas and get your own holiday. Like, dream big, kids.
Yeah.
Dream big. There's nothing holding you back. Nothing holding you back. As long as you got the support of white Iowa behind you, you can do anything you put your mind to.
Facts.
Fuck out of here.
Like, but and you know, we're getting to a place, let's take this home. The deeper issue here is, like, this is a kid who just made a donation to a hospital. If we had a better healthcare system in place, this wouldn't have been necessary, and this kid could have enjoyed his beer.
It's true.
Period.
It's true.
Period. Like, that's the bigger atrocity, is that, like, the $2 million that they're going to donate to this hospital is going to pay salaries and buy technology, and these, like, it's not going to help with any of these kids' bills.
Nope.
It's not going to help these families.
Nope.
Like, it's not going to improve their services or care rendered, because they still have a staff there that's working for them.
Right.
But that's not going to change. Like,
that's still taking an oath to take care of people.
Right. So they're just going to keep doing their job with more money.
Yep.
Like, it's not going to alleviate the financial burdens that their family are going through.
And knowing Iowa, it's not going to go towards mental health services to possibly get counseling for these people who are going through it with their children.
Right.
It's not, like, and it's, like I told you, what this is going to amount to is Carson's going to have really nice bench with a name plaque on it for him. Maybe under a tree. You know,
they might even name the tree after him.
Right. the Carson King shade tree of hope or something. Bullshit like that. Like,
and that's going to be the end of it. And that's going to be the legacy of this story, is a fucking bench at a children's hospital.
You know, and when it comes down to it, he's going to go back to being a security guard at Prairie Meadows, who just happens to have a day named after him.
Right. Because I guarantee in... by Thanksgiving, no one's gonna give a shit.
Yeah,
I mean, and that's being like generous. I'll give it
till the end of football season. All
right,
I'll give it till the end of the college football season.
Okay,
because once there's no longer waving at the kids anymore, because that's the big thing is waving at the sick kids during the poor little motherfuckers that can't come out of their hospital room to actually watch the game. They can wheel them over to the window, see a bunch of drunk motherfuckers waving at them from the field. Whatever it takes to make those people happy, that's all that really matters. So I'll reiterate in saying that I'm not mad at Carson King. In fact, I don't know any people of color that are mad at Carson King because, quite frankly, we're really good at minding our own business, and this has nothing to do with us.
Yeah. And that's the funniest thing about it is that, like, it's all of my black identifying friends in any of the conversations, you know, have no commentary because there's no need for it because this isn't about us.
Yeah, we don't care.
Yeah, we literally just do not.
We just want you to keep that same energy the next time a black or brown person is gunned down or does anything, not even negative stuff, but if something positive happens, that we need you to keep that same energy when they decide to dig back into their past and find something from a juvenile record or when they're fresh out of high school or in their early 20s or something like that and not hold it over their head. Next time you have somebody like Philando Castile who gets shot by a police officer on Facebook Live while complying, that the media is not going to go and pull up a mugshot from when he was 19 for a weed possession and try to hold that down like he was some fuck up for his whole life.
Exactly. Or to even speak about anyone who's been in our criminal system and if they've paid their debt and they re-enter our society, treat them with that same energy and that same forgiveness.
Right.
Like, yeah, were they, oh, you murdered somebody? But that was in 2011.
Right,
that was a different time.
Like, what about Michael Vick?
Hmm.
He even killed people. Most of you motherfuckers are scared of pit bulls anyway. Like,
bruh,
you know what? I need to calm down.
Yeah, right.
I need to calm down.
This is turning a whole other episode.
I need to calm down.
But no, that being said, yeah, keep that same energy. If you got all this deep forgiveness about what people did a few years ago, mm-hmm. keep that up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like mm-hmm. otherwise,
might be deeper than that. Next time that your significant other wants to throw some shit in your face that you did a while back, like, hey, what about Carson King? You gotta learn to let that shit go.
It's a brilliant move.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, miss with the bullshit.
Exactly.
All right, this podcast is brought to you by Android DSM. Power up.
It's Susie's Sweet Treats. Secret ingredient is love. Not cocaine. We'll catch y'all next week at the same black time.
Same black channel.
Hopefully with a Kanye review. All right, y'all. Peace.